I'm going to turn over to Isaiah. And read two verses. Where we know that Jesus Christ is coming to rule on this earth. And that his ways, God's ways, are going to be established on this earth. And that's what they have expounded on, what they have focused on, what their whole plan is and has been. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his increase, of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice, from that time forward, even forever and ever and ever. Amen." We live in a society we know that is contrary to the mindset of God. And referring to a scripture over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where Jesus Christ tells us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Not to have the mindset of this world, the focus of the self, of rejecting God, and not implementing all his ways and laws. But we are to be mature, as it's talking about here, to become like God through the sacrifice of his Son so that we can rule with Jesus Christ. That is not too far in the distant future. So do we have this mindset? Do we have this understanding? Is this what we desire? Is this what God has revealed to us? We must remember that there is a God of this age. And we're reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I know I repeat this quite often, 3 and 4. You know, Paul says, "If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Those who are of the world, those who have not been called, or those who have been called and rejected that calling, whose minds, the God of this age, he has blinded. Those that are not obeying God, giving of themselves, growing to be mature in what God desires of us, in becoming mature and growing in maturity. We also have walked according to this blindness, as Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 2:2. We once were blinded, but he doesn't want us to continue in blindness or go back in blindness. When we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we'd be of the world, would be blinded by Satan. We would have our perspective, our own views on people, problems, the world as a whole. Perspective is the way a person sees things. It's from their view. It's their perspective. It's different than another person's view or another person's perspective. In other words, it could be your viewpoint or your perspective, and we have lots of them out there. But there, as we read in Isaiah chapter 9, there's one true perspective, God's perspective. There's no other. Those who are seeking the kingdom of God will seek this same perspective. No other perspective. As we approach the Day of Atonement here in a few days, we'll see that and explain more that atonement is reconciliation to God. That the one who's the primary cause of sin will be put away for 1,000 years. And those in the millennium will have the opportunity to be reconciled to God, to know his ways. And those who have become first fruits will be able to help God and be a part of this government, who've had a different mindset, who've had his perspective today, to be a part of teaching these people for all mankind. Satan, the devil, bears a great responsibility for influencing mankind to disobey God. Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 12 says, For your struggle. We do struggle. Right? We struggle against these influences of, should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? I know what's right, but oh, it's so hard. Paul says in verse 12, for your struggle is not against the flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against ourselves, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Satan's influences. Our human nature also has a part to play in this. As you continue reading down in those verses, Paul says to put on Christ. Put on Christ. Use these tools to have his perspective. And we can't have his perspective unless we are putting on Jesus Christ. You know, the Day of Atonement, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 3, you know, looks forward to the time during which Satan's deception will be removed. Totally removed. It is going to happen. Do we want to be a part of this kingdom that's going to last forever and ever? Those who God calls are his children. And we are waiting, hopefully it's us that we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And those who are waiting for the return of Christ and those that are his children will be focused on his perspective, his viewpoints. They will heed the warnings. Feast of Trumpets, as we just recently kept. It's going to be a troublesome time. Yes, the end result is the return of Jesus Christ, and his throne is established, and his kingdom is established, and he will rule, and there will be peace. But there is a lot that will happen before his return. But the children of light will not be caught surprised. They won't. They will not be caught surprised by the return of Jesus Christ, because they will heed the warnings. Let me read some of the warnings. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. Paul says, breaking into this, but you, brethren, you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Now, Jesus Christ's return may or may not happen in our lifetime. It looks like it will. But I think it's great that we have these feast days. Obviously, it's great because God commands that we keep them, and they're there for us to learn of his plan of salvation. But we can be focused on, hey, that might happen in my lifetime. I need to change. I want to do what's right. I don't want to be caught in the tribulation, afraid, scared, frightened. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And we know if we're in bed and we're sleeping and it's dark and it's night, all of a sudden the thief is there. Boom, it's right there. We weren't aware of it. It happened. God is saying the children of light will not be surprised. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others sleep. But let us watch and be sober. We can be spiritually on this road of spiritual growth, and we can be calm. Sober, we can be calm. Verse 6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So he says, therefore, as he goes through some things, go back and read it. Comfort each other and edify one another just as you continue to do. We've had a lot of messages recently and lately about really emphasizing God's law, that it needs to be kept all the way to the extent, to the spiritual extent, to every being in our body, of giving of ourselves, of truly loving others. Luke 21 on this same concept, Luke 21 verse 34, it says, be on guard, be aware, that your hearts may not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. So he tells us, don't get caught up in it. If we are, we'll be asleep. We won't be ready. His return will be a shock. And that day come on you suddenly, as it says. It will come on us suddenly, like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times. It's a continued battle. We must continually overcome this devil, our nature. Be on alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the return of Jesus Christ. Over in Mark 13:33, it says, take heed, keep on the alert. It means we need to be doing something. For you do not know when the appointed time is. So we do not know when the appointed time is. Jesus Christ doesn't know the exact time. God the Father is the only one who knows. Continuing in Mark 35, therefore be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. So whether it's going to be in the evening, at midnight, at dawn, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Talk about not being spiritually prepared, spiritually ready. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. In Revelation, last verse, chapter and verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, says, remember therefore how you have received and heard. How you received this word. How you received these warnings. Hold fast and repent. We need to be changing. Therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not be spiritually ready, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So as we go through these warnings, we also can be comforted that, hey, God is warning us. Trumpet sound, it's a warning. More than one trumpet sound in the Feast of Trumpets. We're being warned. I think time is getting closer. I don't know, that's just my opinion. But we know that when the tree, we see the fruit on the tree and it's beginning to be ready to be picked, it's beginning to be ripe, that we know that things are happening. And we can look at society. We can look at things going on. Can God delay some things? Can delay it a little bit? Can he speed it up? It's in his hands. But even if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, as Mr. Elliott said a couple of weeks ago, our life expectancy is about 70 years or so. Again, we should look at that as the return of Jesus Christ in our lives. Will we be ready? We don't want to die being asleep. God's word gives us plenty of directions so we can be spiritually prepared for these events that will unfold in the future. So, the question is, are we on course to the kingdom of God? Are we being reconciled to God? What the Day of Atonement means. What is our perspective? And is it God's perspective? Is our perspective a godly perspective? Today I've titled this message, Do We Have a Godly Perspective? And again, if we have this godly perspective, we will not get caught off guard when Jesus Christ returns. Today I have 3 points to see if we are on track in having God's perspective. When it comes to believing, the gospel has to be more than just believing in it. Just, I have faith. You know, faith without works is dead. It must become us. It must be who we are. So with that in mind, we must be living God's perspective. So number one is we need a picture. We need a picture. People take pictures all the time. Take pictures of things they like. Sometimes these people store them on their computer. Sometimes they put them in their pocket. I have pictures of my family in my wallet. These are the people I love dearly. These people I hold close. So a picture is something that we have to have, something that we're dear to. We need to have a picture. God is our creator. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He created us. I think that's our picture. Satan didn't create us. God created us. God created us and gave us dominion over the planet to take care of it. He gives us everything that we have. He tells us to obey him. Just like a parent tells a child, obey me, this is the way to go. Why do we do that? Because we love them. God does the same thing for us. That is our picture. And I think there's also another scripture we could use. Revelation chapter 3:8. God is our creator, and he tells us what we need to be doing. As he's talking to the faithful church in Revelation chapter 3:8, he says, Jesus Christ says, I know your works. I know you are repenting. I know you have the attitude, show me where I'm wrong. I want to change. I want to know when I'm wrong. Help me to change. And that's the only way that we can have an open door. He says, I have set before you an open door. We have access to the Father and to Jesus Christ. We come before them and we're repenting. and we're seeking this spiritual growth, to come to maturity, to not holding fast to our views, our perspective, our thoughts, our ways. We must totally, totally give them up. It takes faith. It takes work. And when this door is open, it says no one can shut it. So when we have this relationship with God, we're continuing on this path of repentance and seeking Him and wanting His desire to be filled in our life. I want your perspective. I want everything about you. I want to live it. That door can't be shut. For you have a little strength. You continue down this process. You're continuing down this road. You've kept my word and have not denied my name. So, we've made a commitment. We have this picture. We know that God's created us, and we're going to obey Him. We know that we need to be growing in maturity, to be seeking His will, to be seeking His ways, so that door will not be shut. And we continue to do that. That door continues to remain open. Number two. Now, these are points that I've taken from Beyond Today, what do they call that? They do it weekly. Beyond Today Weekly's 2.5 minutes. And put these together. And it's not the only thing, but I think it's three quick points that we can implement in our lives and see if we're on track. But number two is make daily course corrections. And to do this, we must acknowledge that we have a sinful nature. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to raise your hand. You just thought process. How many times do you sin in a day? You know, how many times do we sin in a day? You know, you can ask some people that question. Say, I don't sin. Well, I don't know. Maybe once, maybe twice. Our nature is sinful. Do we look at how deceitful our human nature is? Paul did. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 7. And here Paul came to the realization that he needed to have Jesus Christ open his mind to show him that he was a sinner. Now Paul, growing up as a Jewish boy, knew the law. He was zealous. He thought he was doing things right. And as growing up, you could ask Paul, are you a sinner? I'm not a sinner. He killed Stephen. I'm not a sinner. I'm doing God's work. Our nature is deceitful. And it's only through God that He can open our minds up. And we must be responding. Romans chapter 7. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Romans 7 verse 14. We've read this many times. And let's look at this as Paul looking at his nature. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual. God's law is spiritual. And things of the flesh can't understand the things of the spirit. But he says, I am of the flesh. I'm sold into slavery under sin. I'm a sinner. He's saying. I mean, I don't want to practice sin, but God has opened my eyes to help me see that I'm a sinner. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want. I know I'm supposed to be doing the right thing. I know I'm supposed to be living these things that I'm supposed to be doing. But I do the very things I hate. The things that I want to do, I'm not doing those. Because why? Because God has opened us His mind. God has opened our minds to help us see that we make mistakes, that our nature is weak, that we are not perfect, that we need to change, that we need to overcome. He says, now if I do What I do not want, in other words, when I sin, I agree that the law is good, but in fact it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. It's my nature. It's who I am. And Paul didn't want to be that way. We need to recognize and see that that's who we are. He understood how deceitful his nature was. He was sincere. He knew that he was a sinner and that he needed to change and that he needed help. He concluded, verse 18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." So he says, there's nothing good that dwells in me. That is within my flesh. I can will what is right. I know what is right. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But I cannot do it. "For I do not do the good I want, but it's the evil I do not want is what I do." So we have this struggle. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. God is the one who's opened my eyes. He's helped me to see, but I'm not able to do it. "Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but it is sin that dwells within me." So he knew he was a sinner. "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, well, evil lies close at hand." Again, Paul did not deliberately want to sin, but through his relationship with God, through God opening his eyes, he was able to see that he was a sinner. He is describing his blindness to his own sinful actions and his weaknesses in resulting in sin. Same with us. He's describing every single one of us. We must recognize this. If we have to think about our sins, when did I sin last? What do I do? Maybe I got to. Get on our knees and ask God to help us see our sins. And a lot of us say, "Oh, that's just too hard." That's maturity. That's coming to realization that that's what we need to be doing. That is God's perspective of what he expects of us. That's his view of what we need to be doing. We must recognize our sins, and then we must deal with them. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. Chapter 1, starting in verse 8. It says, "If we say that we have no sin..." I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, then he says, "We deceive ourselves." Paul just told us that our nature is evil. It's contrary to God. And it says, and if we're thinking that way, and that's our thoughts, and, well, then it says, well, then the truth is not in us. I want that truth. But that song, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." But, okay, I'm a sinner. My nature's wrong. It's not your perspective. I want your perspective. It says, if we confess our sins, if we confess that our perspective is wrong and that we need his perspective, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our perspectives, all of our unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that's the direction we do not want to go. If that's the direction we have been going, that's the direction we do not want to go. Be alert. Be ready. Be on guard. Hold fast. We won't be surprised when Jesus Christ returns. I mean, this is a challenge. that our actions, our thoughts, our perspective is not God's. That we need to be changed. Sometimes we can convince ourselves, well, I still want to hold on to this. I still want to do that. I still have this thought. I still have this idea. Sometimes people come to me and ask me questions. What does the Bible say about this? And I tell them, this is what it says. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. And I say, no, this is what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says. What do we cherish most? Our thoughts, our view, our perspective. The Day of Atonement is about coming before God in humility. We fast. We humble ourselves to seek His will, to have a different mindset. Show me the way. We don't want to be coming on the Feast of Atonement and fast and not have humility of desiring, God, show me the way. My nature, my perspective is wrong, and I need yours. If we come to the feast with any other thoughts, well then, those are the wrong thoughts. We just know that God is merciful. He's willing to forgive. He's given us the warning. We must be yielding. What do we cherish the most? Is it our perspective, our viewpoint, or can we humble ourselves? We get on our knees and say, God, you've shown me I need to be humble. Humble me. Help me to see. Are we afraid of that? We can ask ourselves, are we afraid of that? What we should be afraid of is disobeying God. When God shows us what sin is, we should be afraid of, I don't want to do that anymore. And sin is hard to break. So that's why we have the strength of Jesus Christ. We can keep going to Him. Help me to overcome this sin. Everyone must face the problem of a sinful nature. We all must overcome it. Everyone. We have this opportunity now. We need His perspective. We need His righteousness. The Scriptures tell us that. Resistance to God's perspective begins in our thoughts. Are we having any thoughts right now? What is our attitude? We're here. Jesus Christ is going to reign forever and ever. We can't overcome on our own. We've all sinned and we're all guilty. So we need to be making daily course corrections. That was point number two. Remember, we are wanting and desiring to be in God's kingdom, so we should be wanting and desiring His perspectives and be getting rid of our perspective. With that thought, point number three is stay faithful. You know, Paul warns us. I'm just going to touch on a few scriptures here. He warns us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 3. Paul warns us to be aware of the deceitful methods of the devil. The devil is very deceitful. He likes to take individuals who are trusting, who looks like they are trusting, and use them to deceive God's people. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion in Christ. And there's people that will not listen to Scripture. There's people that think they're part of the body. It will not follow instruction. And that's what Paul is warning. Whether it be in this church or any of the other couple hundred splinter groups, God knows who are His. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So it's going to happen. Is the door open to Jesus Christ? Is the door open to God the Father and His Son? What are we seeking? Are we seeking humility? Are we seeking their understanding? And another verse, Second Corinthians chapter 11, 14 and 15 says that Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. He'll even use ministers on a Saturday service in the United Church of God to deceive the brethren. He says it in the scripture. How are we going to know? We are told that we can know, that we can be ready, that we can be sober, that we can be calm, that we know Jesus Christ is going to return. We don't have to worry. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Not everyone is going to hear the messages from God's true ministry, from God's true leaders, from the brethren, from the children of light. Not everyone is going to hear. Not everyone's going to listen. Paul tells us that. Hebrews chapter 6. He says, "For those who have been baptized and those who have once received the Holy Spirit, and God knows those who have." I'm not up here to say who has and who hasn't. God knows who's received His Holy Spirit. But Paul says, in verse 4 of chapter 6, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened." He's talking about here who's had the Holy Spirit, who's been baptized, who knew the right way to go, who knew what to do, who had their eyes open, that knew that Satan is the god of this world, that their nature is contrary to God's nature and that they need to change. They knew that the door was open and no one could shut it. They were on the right path. "And have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they fall away, to renew them to repentance, since they crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame." There's not going to be another chance. Unless they repent. "For the earth which drinks and the rain that come often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God, but if it bears thorns and bearers, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." So that type of attitude, that type of desire, that type of perspective is not God's perspective. And is not going to be allowed in God's kingdom. But, Paul goes on to say in verse 9, "But beloved brethren," he's saying, "we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work." He's not to forget your desire to repent, to become like Him, to know His perspective, and the labor of love, of doing what He asks us to be doing and keeping His law, "which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered it to the saints, and you continue to minister it. You continue to teach it. You continue to live it. You've come to maturity, to understand, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end of our physical life or the return of Jesus Christ." And we know we're doing this. We can be comforted that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and endurance inherit the promises. Imitate those who are, they know that they need God's perspective, that they need to have their sins shown to them, that they understand that their nature is contrary to God's. Turn over to James on this third point of staying faithful. We must continue. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We encouraged. God gives us the encouragement. God is there. He's doing everything he can to help us. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not just hearers." Let's not just hear what's being said today and next Sabbath and the previous Sabbaths that we've had and on and on and on. Let's be doers and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. There's sometimes, I make mistakes. I do things that I shouldn't do. And I have to be honest with myself. Should I keep doing that? We need to be honest with ourselves. No, we shouldn't. God, forgive me. And ask God for, we praying for all of us. God wants to bring many sons to glory. Our whole desire should to not want to hurt anyone, but for everyone to make it. And that we are not a hindrance to anyone. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Okay, we're going to hear this today. Okay, that's a good message, or second message, or song selection, opening prayer, the closing prayer. That was good. But, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law, God's perspective, Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He wants us to come to maturity, to be perfect in understanding what his will is. So we look into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The door is going to be open, and no one can shut it. I have a challenge. Let's turn on my Bible one page back. James, chapter 1. We cringe. We cringe. Not all of us, but I think for many years we've cringed at James chapter 1 and verse 2. I mean, let me ask you a question before we read this. Who wants joy in their life? I do. Who wants adversity in their life? We should. I want adversity in my life. Who wants proving in their life? I want proving in my life. It may not be easy for you to say right now, but that's what God wants. That's coming to maturity. That's God will open the door and he will leave that door open. And we can come to the understanding that no matter what happens, we can be at calm because God is in us. He's living in us. The challenge is this. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into various adversities or proving, God is showing me my sins. I need to change. I need to become more like him. I need help. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We persevere on. We continue in obeying God. And let this perseverance have its perfect work. We're coming to maturity. that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. He wants us to become like Him. The Holy Spirit is not a Holy Spirit of fear. If we have fear, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's our perspective. The Holy Spirit is of power. It's of comfort. It's of joy. It's of peace. God gives us that. So the challenge is, some point in your life, hopefully soon, if you're not already doing it, God, give me some proving. Give me some adversity. Help me to see who I am. Help me to change so I become more like you, so I can quit being this awful person relying on my perspective, my viewpoints. And I can yield to you so I can be in your kingdom. That's what God is desiring. He wants us to come to maturity. He wants us to come to understand this and to hate sin. So what is our picture as we wrap this up? Whose perspective are we seeking? We need to be seeking the true God's perspective. Not the little God, Satan the devil, but the true God. The true God is the one who's created you and me, who wants to give us life, who wants us to be in His kingdom forever and ever. And then we need to be making daily course corrections. It's a process. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily course correction. We do it with ourselves through the Holy Spirit. We have to stay faithful, asking God to help us to live His perspective. So in conclusion, I hope that I was able to give you 3 points that can help us continue on this road of seeking God's perspective. God gives us the warning. He gives us the challenge. Will we do what He asks? If so, we will not be surprised at His return. We will be ready. We won't be asleep. We will be calm. We'll be comforted. We have this opportunity to be reconciled to God today, now, in our lifetime. Let's praise God. Let's give Him all the glory for showing us His perspective so we can be in His kingdom forever and ever. Amen.